DEC Forest Ranger Scott Van Laer has a unique hobby. In his spare time, Van Laer treks into the Adirondacks to discover lost plane wrecks. He's currently writing a guidebook on some of the crash sites he's found. In the second of a two-part interview, the trained forest ranger describes the search and rescue techniques he uses in the field.
So most of my searches are single days. There are some where I'll camp out so I can get a second day in if it's pretty remote. I do try to get other people to go with me, and actually that's getting easier to find people to go with me than it was when I first started that. The more people I have, the better, but you don't want to have too many because you are doing a search pattern, so it's best if I have people that are familiar with the search techniques that we use, which is essentially in a grid pattern, and I'm basically within sight of the person to my left and right, or at least verbally, and then I'm guiding, tracking my location with a GPS, and then what we'll do is so we'll go a certain direction, a bearing, and then I'll hit an endpoint of my search block, and then I'll turn around, and then I'll be guiding off of the digital footprint on my GPS, so I know where I went on my last sweep, and I just continue sweeping back and forth.
Is there anything unusual that you find out there in these remote spots that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, I do find, because I'm going off trail, I do find a lot of other stuff. I found old hunting camps. I found old remnants of old logging camps. I found find a lot of tree stand. I found some old traps. I find some found a lot of examples of old forest fires. So I do find a lot of stuff like that. At the crash sites, it's very limited the amount of in the ground archaeology I do. I will manipulate some of the things there, but I'm not digging. I'm not disturbing the ground to a tremendous degree. So I have seen a few personal effects from the victims. I tend to just avoid them and leave them there. But I don't go over these sites with a metal detector, which I have seen some aviation archaeologists do.
Is part of it respecting the crash site?
It is. And this is not something that's for everybody. I have had some people say, felt like it's a bit morbid. I do respect that. For me, this is very similar to going, say, to a cemetery, or a lot of these I go to a military crash sites. It's very similar to me going to a battlefield. So I do give respect to these sites. Several of them are, in my opinion, historical in nature, and I've submitted paperwork to the state providing their location so perhaps they can get a degree of protection as a historical site of historical significance archaeologically. And I'm not sure the status with those that I've submitted, but there were two in particular that were World War II vintage military craft, and there's a significant amount of the plane there. They would qualify because they're over 50 years old. So I hope that will provide some protection to those what I think are significant historical archaeological sites.
So you're writing a guidebook on these, and how is that coming along?
It's going good. This is kind of like a bucket list project for me. It's not really, it's not a money-making venture. I don't want to do more than one book. I don't want to do sequels or anything like that. So I've been really delaying it. This is something I thought I'd have done in a year or two. And the places I want to go, it just doesn't seem to end, or snow will come early and I don't get to search for as many as I would like. The usual constraints of job and family. So it's taken me longer, and I want it to be as inclusive as possible. So I keep delaying it, but at this point I'm getting near the finish line, if you will. I only have six or seven more that I feel very strongly that there is still wreckage there and haven't looked for yet or haven't been able to find yet. So I kind of committed at this point. I have enough material, and I'll finish up with this fall and spend the winter finishing up the writing aspect. And then maybe in a year or so, hopefully have it out. And, you know, I have said that in the past, and then I say, oh, but there's always one more. I have gone back and forth a bit on how to reveal the location, if you will, or if I should. Honestly, the stories behind these are very compelling, I believe. So even if people don't visit these sites, I think the human aspect story is compelling. So I kind of envision it where, you know, I'll have specific chapters on crashes where I describe what happened, the people involved, and then, you know, maybe provide a location to where they are so people can visit. Some of these are already documented. You know, hiking is a popular sport. So some of these are already documented and locations can be found.
You said you pay a lot of respect when you visit these sites. And do you think that publishing a guidebook where people would be able to know where they are would have any impact on those sites?
Yeah, it's one thing I'm struggling with. I might leave the location out for the historical ones, the ones that, you know, we're trying to get greater protection for. You know, that is, use of the forest preserved by the public is something, you know, that is always being dealt with, just having too many hikers, too many users. But then part of me says, you know, I don't want to, you know, hide information, or, you know, it can be very useful to others to go there. So there would be, you know, there at some point you have to just believe that people will be respectful on their own. But there may be, as I do go to kind of final review, there may be some things I leave out. I don't know exactly how detailed I'll leave. I'll put directions in. It may not be like guidebook form to the point where I say, you know, take this trail for 1.25 miles and turn left at this bearing. That's the part that I'm struggling with the most. The easiest part is to write up the human element about what happened. That's the easier part as far as deciding what to include.
And last question, when is your next trip out?
Hopefully next week. We had a pretty good snowfall here, so I'm just waiting that to melt. So hopefully, you know, my next days off.